If you are going to be playing in my Round the Table campaign, I politely and firmly request that you leave. If you're not going to be one of my players, though, I'm hoping that this video is going to be really insightful and informing and really, really useful for your own games. So, there you go. Waiting for you to leave. Hello and welcome to this episode of How to Be a Great GM. Right, so hopefully my players have left and hopefully you have remained behind. Why am I doing this? Why did I ask them to leave? Well, because today I want to show you my process of how I create a campaign that I am going to be running. I am so excited. Oh my goodness, I'm excited. I'm going to be running a campaign around the table in this room, in this very room, as a matter of fact. I've got some amazing players who are going to be joining me. We're going to be recording it. It's going to be coming out on the channel. You're going to be able to watch those episodes as they come out. And I need a campaign. I haven't got one yet. My players are banding about all the different types of characters that they want to play. They're like, oh, well, you know, I really like this idea or I like that idea. I think one player has kind of shifted through at least 5 different classes. It's going to be Dungeons & Dragons, of course. They love Dungeons & Dragons. Who doesn't? Why wouldn't we? And I've done the, okay, guys, so do you want this campaign? Do you want that campaign? Do you want a next campaign? And they're like, no, we want an epic campaign! We want an epic campaign. You wrote a book about it. We want a book. We want the epic. But what about a player-based campaign where it's your character? No, we want an epic. I've had the idea for a scene that is part of the opening of the campaign, not the actual campaign itself. Rules. We don't plot the campaign. I don't work out how the campaign is going to end. Not important. Okay. Not worried about that. I am only worried about how it begins. And then moving forward, if you leave your comments down below and we get at least 20 people asking me for more of this kind of stuff, I did this way back when in 2019 when I was doing Ghosts of Saltmarsh and Descent into Avernus. I unpack as I go. I'm like, oh God, did you see what happened in last week's episode? This was happening, this was why I was doing it. If you want that kind of stuff, the only way I can know that is if you tell me in the comments down below. So, my idea, I want my campaign to start, or to begin with the player characters being given the only surviving heir to the throne as a ward or a charge for them to look after. I don't know why, but I've got this vision of the player characters standing in a crowded square with thousands of spectators around them. The old queen or the old king, whatever, is standing, holding the crown above the head of this youth. And as the old king is about to put the crown onto the youth, there is this attack of something. Something attacks, kills the old king, and then is trying to kill the youth. But somehow, the youth gets from this podium to the player characters, or the player characters get to the youth. I can't rely on the player characters taking any action at this point. So I need the player characters to get to this youth, and or the youth to the player characters, and someone to say, you have to look after him. Get him out of here. Take him where it's safe. I'll contact you later. So that could be like a sergeant or a captain of the guard or a secret operative or something. I don't know. This is this vision in my head. I'm like, that could be so cool with them fleeing the city as this thing is now tearing the city apart, trying to find this youth. Where does the campaign go from there? I don't know. The obvious answer is that the player characters have to fight off the thing that's taken over the city or that's killing the king, that's hunting down the youth. They have to find the person who's behind the thing trying to do that. I mean, that's open. That's entirely open, and I don't have to worry about that. That's not what I'm concerned about at this moment in time. I need to figure out how to set this incident, this inciting incident, this moment that's going to set the ball rolling. Because my players will have the choice. Do they accept this idea? Do they look after this young heir? Do they say no and leave the young heir? Do they ransom the young heir back to the big evil? That's their call. I don't care about that. That's their problem. I will react accordingly. I know that I have something that is hunting the heir. If the player characters want to give it to the creature at the very beginning, great stuff. But that's where I need to start worrying about things. I need to start looking at it from the perspective of, but why? Why does this big monster, why, or whatever it is, why does it want to get rid of the heir? What's its plan? So I need to unpack that. But I also need to unpack something else as well. And that is, what do my players know? What do they need to know? They need to know that this is the last heir, the only surviving heir. They need to know that this heir is perhaps good or valuable or of use. Because frequently, the heir, stereotypically, could either be super arrogant, super, I refuse to sleep in a commoner's bed. You will all lie on the ground and I will sleep on you whilst you hold me aloft. Could be that. Could be super useless. I never really learned how to hold a sword or read a book. Now, I did my sister's hair a lot. That is something that's a nuance. That will be determined, for me anyway, primarily by the player characters. If the player characters emerge, because they're busy creating them now, if the player characters emerge as being this mercenary force of cutthroats, of killers, of necromancers, and that sort of thing, then I will probably make the heir useless. If the party emerges as being a chaotic good, neutral good kind of space, then the heir will probably have some value to them, because otherwise they might just abandon them, but will have some valiant qualities. Of course, if the party create this bunch of really good folk, well, that's a different story. Then the heir can be a paladin or something along those lines. But I've got to resolve the fact that the players need to know that this is the last heir and that there is some kind of caring going on. So in order to get them to realize that this is the last heir, that this heir is important, I need to figure out that scene. Why are they there? Why would they be at the coronation? I could just start the campaign. You are standing at the coronation of the last heir. I could, but I don't feel like that's a strong enough hook. And I feel like that is saying, here, players, here is the MacGuffin. Go and eat it. Swallow this. I'm not sure that's a very strong way to start. It's a direct way to start, but it doesn't strike me as being the most interesting way of starting. So let's rewind it a little bit. So if the players need to know that this heir is important, oftentimes the players will not just, they just won't care about this heir if they're just dumped with him. So if they have a relationship with the heir before, that could be interesting. But how would they have a relationship with the heir before? Oh, they could be assigned to take him hunting and he proves himself and then they go to the coronation. But that's deflating the opening of the campaign. And I do believe if I am running an epic campaign, it's got to be epic. It's got to start with something dramatic, something else that's been bouncing around in my skull. Is this idea of the players' characters time traveling? I don't know why. I've been watching a lot of Star Trek recently, I will admit. But the notion of time travel in a game where there's stuff happening at the end, there's stuff happening in the middle. My players are very intelligent people. And by that I mean they are probably going to be aware of what I'm doing. They're super smart. They will follow along. And I say this, watch them be a bunch of bloody morons. If we want them to realize that the heir is important, and I'm using this time travel idea, what if the campaign actually begins with them working with the heir, so they can see the heir in action. Only he's no longer the heir. Now he is someone of importance. He's someone of significant value. And so the players get to create a low-level character and a high-level character. The high-level character is the low-level character advanced upwards, right? Now, they're not going to know what that trajectory is. It's not going to be an organic process. It's going to be them choosing cool stuff initially, which is absolutely fine. The heir is there, only he's no longer the heir. Now, I've got in my head that it's this youth, 12 to 14 years old, somewhere there. And I have a fallback, by the way, for youthful folk, which is the 14-year-old's plucky, super eager to do stuff, but not very good at stuff, but desperate to impress the PCs. It's an old trick, but it works. It's a lot easier to get the players to enjoy working with the character. The character is trying to emulate the player characters. And then I can use them throughout the campaign as mirrors to the player characters as well. So it's kind of useful to go that route. Nonetheless, if this future king is super confident, has drawn on the education and the training that the party have given him, and they are facing this ultimate evil creature. And I'm also a huge He-Man and the Master of the Universe fan. I'm kind of thinking, what if it's someone like a Skeletor, the old-fashioned 1980s Skeletor anyway? So it's this lich, this undead thing. Super powerful, really, 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 really chaotic, difficult to play. The opening is these high-level characters trying to defeat. So I drop them in there. They don't have to have a history with the heir at that point because combat is forcing them to work together. This is an old trick as well. Combat forces players to work together briefly. It doesn't keep them together, but it does force them to work together. So they are fighting this thing, and the king has something of value that will defeat this lich. Or the king has something that allows him to protect the player characters from this evil lich, or an ability of this evil lich. And so the players then triumph against the lich. This is risky. This is risky because if they triumph against the lich, it kind of means that they have had the showdown of the campaign at the very beginning of the campaign. So then what's the point of playing the campaign, right? Except that as they are about to defeat the lich stops time. So I'm going to need some kind of creature that's got a time stop or a wish spell, something along those lines, something goofy, that is going to hurtle the lich back in time. Or perhaps not hurtle it back in time, just hurtle its memories back in time, into its earlier incarnation. Because what that'll allow to then happen is, as the king is dying, because the king should be dying, the king sacrifices himself to send the consciousness of the player characters back in time, or to allow the player characters to communicate with themselves back in time. I think that's better. And the reason why it's better for the future characters to be able to talk to the past characters is because that would explain why the past characters don't have all of the levels of the future characters, all of the spells and those kinds of things that you would imagine would be happening with a time travel. So this isn't exactly time travel, it's a time communication. Someone in the future is telling someone in the past. I think that's going to be quite a cool idea. And then what that means is the party are standing at this coronation, and suddenly one of them steps up in front of them and says, "You have to save the heir. He is the only one." And then the connection breaks, right? Because it's going to be a faulty connection. They can't get all of the information, otherwise it's a bit dull. So now they have to save this heir. And because they have already spent a battle, which is going to take like maybe two hours to play through, if I'm lucky, right? Because this is high level stuff. So everyone's got powers, everyone's got these kinds of things, and everything is going along those lines. So I can't do that. I need to just, well, I can start my campaign there. And then I go into this courtyard scene. So that's it. So they've established, they've got this rapport. They know who's going on and they know what's going on. Right. So now I think I've got everything that I need. I don't need very much else. Let me just check my notes. Why would the PCs look after the heir? Well, now we know why they'd look after the heir. Who is this big bad thing? Ah, that's what we need. We need a plan for this big bad monster. What is their plan? Why? Why are they trying to annihilate this heir? Well, no, we know. We know why they're trying to annihilate the heir. We've already solved it. The lich in the future is defeated by the heir because the heir has some kind of artifact or item that allows them to circumnavigate some of the powers of this lich. So the lich knows, if I don't get rid of the heir, this artifact will be found. So that means that the heir somehow has to get the artifact. That would mean the lich kind of knows where it is, or knows that it is there. The players know that it is there, but they don't know what it is. So the players in the future do, though. So they can contact the other player characters, the past player characters, I hope you're following this, once they've got the heir out of danger, right? So the heir is now safe, they're in a tavern somewhere, they've fled the city, whatever is happening is great. Well, what actually I can do, the players might not like this, but this sounds to me like it could be a lot of fun. If the players in the past need information, we cut to the players in the future dealing with the ramifications, and they will learn the critical thing, and then they can tell that back to the players in the past. The metagame knowledge is ignored because the future players can tell the past characters. So they will be aware of, okay, well, this was in the tomb of some ancient space. But where was that tomb? Well, that information was lost. The player characters in the future won't know it. Well, technically the characters would know, but the players won't, because I'll just jump straight into the scene, right? Where they are now doing this and they're doing that. So I can use this as an incredible way of controlling the pacing, of adding in information as and when needed. And I think also quite fun, when they jump to the future, it's going to have changed according to what they have done in the present. So that gives me a very dynamic opportunity of going, well, actually here are your new high-level characters. Same personalities, same names, different classes, different abilities. I think that is going to be very challenging for the players. If it becomes too much, I'll just drop it. Maybe I'm expecting too much, but I think that could be quite fun. So that's it. That's my campaign. The big bad wants to prevent the heir from getting the thing or get the thing first. The player characters will need to try and get the thing whilst at the same time being harried by the big bad. And there's all sorts of other stuff that's bound to be going on as they stop the big bad from getting certain pieces of information. Because I feel like something that really needs to happen is that this item needs to be a composite. It needs to be it needs to be built out of different things. So the metal that holds the gemstone, the metal has to come from somewhere specific. The gemstone has to come from somewhere specific. So they are building this thing. As the players get hold of the gemstone, well, there might be some other workaround. There might be some other way, especially if the big bad can't get it. And if the big bad does get to a point where they get frustrated that the player characters have got the thing, not only will they try and steal it back, but at the same time, they may also just look for an alternative, which might just be, well, if we can't kill a king in the future, well, maybe we should just kill the heir now. And so it could become one of those as well. And I do think that that could work quite nicely. Well, there we go. That's my musings, my rantings, my ravings. Let's see how this plan works when we get to the first of the live games. And I think it's an interesting one. And it's sticking to my original vision. It's stronger, I think. What are your thoughts? The videos will release, hopefully, before my game actually gets recorded. So then you can tell me. Give me your suggestions. Help a GM out. Point out my giant plot holes. Which is great, because then I can fill those up with reasons why they were actually not plot holes, but plans all along. Anyway, to you and yours, I wish you the very happiest of gaming!